Okay, we are starting a new book, Book of Ephesians, chapter 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Now here, St. Paul is greeting the church of Ephesus. I'm not going to go to the history and geography of the Ephesians church or church at that particular time. But we are going to study what the Word of God is teaching us through this book. This book was not written only for church of Ephesus, but this book was written as a whole Christian community, and they're supposed to distribute these letters to all the churches. So here St. Paul is saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he's trying to say, I am an apostle, and I did not become apostle my own. God has called me, and this was the will of God, that I should be serving the Lord. As I said so many times, many people wanted to do the Lord's work. They have no calling on them, but they just do, thinking that God has called them. And then they mess up the ministry. But here the Word of God is saying, Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then he says, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. From that, he is not writing only Ephesians church, but he is writing all the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about the grace and peace comes from Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people do not understand the plan of salvation. The Word of God says very plainly, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That means God was willing to sacrifice His Son, and the same time Son has to be willing to go. That's why He says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and God the Son work together for the salvation of mankind. And the verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once we say, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, some people twist the scripture. And they will say, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and some people do not even believe He is the Son of God. And two kinds of people. One is Muslim people do not believe God has a son. And Jewish people do not believe God has a son. So here St. Paul wants to write to the not only Jewish people but the whole world to know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we believe in the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God. And Jesus Christ never felt ashamed to call Father God. When He was on earth, He said, I came from my Father, and He came here to reveal us what the Father is all about. So He never said, I am the Father, and I am the God, and there is no one there. Because Jesus Christ is the God and a Son of God. God says to His Son, O God, in a book of Hebrews. So God says to Son, O God, and Son says to Father, O God. So they are all equal, but only some people want to twist it and say Jesus Christ, a God, or a smaller person, so let's worship God only. You remember one of the disciples says, show us the Father, and then that will be enough for us. What Jesus Christ says, You have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he says, my Father and myself, we are all one. And so, he says, Father and Son, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All the heavenly blessings will not come without Christ. If somebody pushes Christ away and they say, we believe in God and we believe in Father and we don't need a Son. As I said, there are religions in the world. They don't want a Son. And so if they don't want a Son, spiritual blessings of heavenly places will not come to them. It says here, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if you are in Christ, then heaven is belong to you. If you reject Christ, you cannot go to heaven, period. Verse 4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
See now, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And some people will say, before the foundation of the world, there was nobody. But God is before the foundation of the world. He is the one that laid the foundation. You remember he says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? So Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, triune God, laid the foundation of the world. So Jesus Christ is a creator, Father is a creator, and the Holy Spirit is a creator, and together they laid the foundation. But the Word of God says, before the foundation was laid, we were in the mind of God or the heart of God. And that's why God is God. Because people cannot understand. Now billions and trillions of people, billions right now, people on earth, these people were never born when the foundation was laid. And the Word of God says, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Let me read it one more time. As he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That means God knew that Jesus Christ is going to come when the man commits sin. And the Word of God says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. Okay.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Now see, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 it says, he had chosen us before the foundation of the world. And here he's saying some of the people's name were not written in that book before the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain. So now there are, seems like a two group of people. And that's why a doctrine is there. They said God knows already who is going to go to heaven, who is going to go to hell. Why we have to worship the Lord? Why we have to preach? Why have to tell somebody about God? Because God already knows everything what's going to happen. But you know what the Word of God is saying? He says, God does not want anyone to perish. And then in book of Romans chapter 10, he says, how can they know without a preacher? When the person believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, his name is written in the book of Lamb's book. But what happens if that person denies Christ? Then what? And somebody will say, oh, the Word of God says you are chosen from the foundation of the world. You come to Christ and now you are sealed forever. or you are not going to be perished. Go to the book of Exodus chapter 32 and start reading from verse 32 and 33.
Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Now, here, 32, Moses was frustrated, and he said, you know, take my name out of your book. He was ready to go to hell. I don't care if I go to hell, I go to hell. But I cannot lead these people. And if you're not with me, I cannot lead these people. Let me die. When the people get frustrated, they don't want to leave. In the Old Testament, Elijah didn't want to leave. Elijah said, Lord, I'm not better. Take me. Now here the Moses is saying, I don't want to leave. Take my name out of your book. What book he's talking about? Book of life. That time, the book of Lamb was not there because Jesus Christ, even though he was slain before the foundation of the world, but once he came into this world and he died on the cross of Calvary, and then you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your name is written in the book of Lambs. So here we see, he did not want his name in the book of life. What the Lord says, let's read the verse 33.
And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
This is very clear. He said, I'm not going to take your name off, but if you commit sin, and if you don't repent of your sin, and if you don't turn to God, then their name will be blotted out from my book. So even though he says from the foundation of the world, but see what happened? God knows your future. We don't know. So we cannot sit there and say, maybe my name is already blotted out. Why should I go to church or why should I worship? Because God is not happy with me. But here he says, if you commit sin, I will blot your name out. But there is a promise. If you overcome, go to the Revelation chapter 3. If you overcome in the Christian life, your name will not be blotted out. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
See now, here he says, I will not blot out their names. Who are those people? Overcomers. Not compromised in this world, looking at their physical condition or physical gain or any other things. You know, you can gain the whole world, the Word of God says. And if you lose your soul, what is this? We saw the other guy other day, he was running in marathon. Young guy, dropped dead. Why he was running? Running for name, running for fame, or running for giving money to some charity or whatever his goal was. But young man dropped dead. So the Word of God says, in this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. When we living in this world, we live for Christ. He says, if you do not live a victorious life, you keep on living like a yo-yo life, yo-yo Christian life, you will not make it. Your name will be not there. Your name will be blotted out. And so I have to be faithful until when? One day, 2 days? Until the death or until Jesus Christ comes. So that's why he's saying, let's go back to the Ephesians now, chapter 1, verse 4 again. Now this time read 4 and 5 together, please.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Now, see what he's trying to say? Even though God had chosen us before the foundation of the world, but he had chosen us for what? He said, you should be holy without blame before him, before God, in love. That's the fourth verse. And that's a having predestinated us unto the adoption by Jesus Christ to himself. So what he's trying to say, God wanted each and every person who believes in Jesus Christ live holy life, live blameless life, love the God the Father and God the Son, and love the believers. And when you do that, then he says, God is going to adopt you in his family. Before the foundation of the world, this is what's going to happen. The man is going to commit sin. Then I'm going to send my son. The son also said, okay, I'm ready. I'm already slain. Why? Before the foundation of the world, he was ready to die. That means he put his life on the line before the mankind was even created. So it was already there. And when the mankind was created, then Jesus Christ comes appointed time and gave his life for mankind. And now the word of God says, if you really, really want to go to heaven, you want to stay with me, you want to be my child, I will adopt you in Christ Jesus. If you reject Christ, you won't be coming to me. And so this is my will. He says, predestinated us, means this was before the foundation of the world, this was his will. And what was his will? According to the good pleasure of his will. So God says, this gives me joy. This is my pleasure that the whole world come through Jesus Christ. And this is the will of God. So we cannot just take it and say, well, if it is the will of God, he will change me. If it is the will of God, he will save me. Otherwise, I'm not going to do anything. The word of God says, we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Otherwise, we will be not having any spiritual blessings in heavenly places or even on earth. Verse 6.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Now he's saying why he accepted us in the beloved. Why? Because he said, I want my people to glorify my name, praise the God's name, and be thankful what God has shown his grace to us. We have to be thankful to God in every day. Verse 7.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
In whom? In Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Whose grace? God's grace. So he says, God has given us grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one redeemer, only one can save us. That's why the Jesus means the Savior. And he only has the power and authority to forgive our sins. And why he says, according to the God's riches, grace, and his mercy. Not a single man in this world can say, God has chosen me because I was a good person. God has chosen me because I was doing good things. God has not chosen us because we were good or because we were doing good things. God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. If we do not believe Jesus Christ, or we do not believe the plan of salvation, the mankind is lost. But we can just simply say, you know, God so loved the world, whole world, not only Christian or Jewish people, he loved the whole world. He gave his only begotten son. What are you going to lose? You just receive him as your Lord and Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is the only Savior. He is the only Healer. He is the only Creator. There is none like Jesus. And you don't have to lose anything. Then somebody says, but if I receive Jesus Christ, I have to give up smoking, drinking, gambling, and sinful life, and this and that. I said, don't worry about that. Just make Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He becomes Lord of your life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what it says, if any man or if anyone in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, new creature, all things are passed away. And what he's saying, behold, all things became new. So that's why I'm saying, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about the worldly thing. You don't have to worry about sinful life. But the point is this, are you completely sold out to Jesus Christ? What I'm trying to say, not a single corner of your life, give it to the devil. Give whole thing to God, not little bit to God and little bit to devil. So here he's saying, Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and He has redeemed us, and this is just the grace of God. If you deny Christ, then you've fallen from the grace. Verse 8.
Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself.
Here is saying, once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God reveals you what God is all about. Many people do not know who God is because their eyes are blinded. Their mind is blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. If your mind is blocked out or blocked or blindness there, you do not know who God is. And you cannot understand the will of God and things of God. But he says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure. That means, without Jesus Christ, without receiving Jesus Christ, your mind will not open, you will not understand the will of God, you will not understand the goodness of God, you will not understand anything about heavenly things. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, give your body as a living sacrifice.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Now here it says, what is your reasonable service? Give your body as a living sacrifice. The body is a flesh. Flesh has a fleshly desire. Now, when you give your fleshly desire sacrifice on the altar of God, that is acceptable unto God. And that is the reasonable service to God. What? You give your body as a holy living sacrifice. Means, you should say, Lord, here I am. My body, my soul, my spirit, is everything belong to you. And I want to live for you. Once you do that, then say, this is the service to God. God wants you holy, not partially. Whole being. Let's read verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
See what he's trying to say here? Be not conformed to this world. That means a Christian person living for God and living for the world at the same time. That is not real Christian person. If you're living for God, then you will not be living for the world. Somebody says, what are you living for the world? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. We learn there that the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Lord. And whoever goes after the fleshly desire, they are not going to please God, and God is not going to please on them. So here he's saying, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we have the mind, and this mind, if you do not have Christ, then this mind is blinded. I just said it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So your mind is already blinded. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your mind is renewed. Somebody says, I don't know how to renew my mind. Just have Jesus in you. Simple. If you have Christ in you, then you have the mind of Christ. If you have mind of Christ, then you're going to think like Christ. You do the thing what Christ wants, and then you will be making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. That means, now I surrender. Lord, you run my life. And that's the way you do, then you renewing your mind, that you may be prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What he's trying to say? Once you have the mind of Christ, you living for God, then it is not difficult what God wants from you. People say, I don't know the will of God. I don't know what to do. Here is the simple thing. Transform your mind. Put your mind on Christ. Receive the mind of Jesus Christ. Live for Christ. Then it will be easy to understand what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. Let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all, in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Now see, here is saying, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. There are so many dispensations. We are not talking about that. But we are talking about the end time. Means everything is finished. The millennium is finished. Now we are going to go for eternity. We are starting a new world. And then what's going to happen? The things in heaven and things on earth, we are going to join together. But do you know what the prophecy teachers are teaching today? They say, oh, we are not going to go anywhere. This world is not going to vanish. We are going to be here. Even the millennium finishes, we are still going to be here. And so that is the false hope. Here is saying very simple. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That means, let's read that verse one more time.
Please. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Okay, so we are all going to gather together. Now, if somebody believes, just think about it. Somebody believes that this world is not going to vanish, and we are going to live in this world forever. Do you think God is going to bring all the host of angels, all the living creatures in heaven, and everything what surrounding the throne of God, bringing here in the filthy earth, and God where he lives, vanish that place forever? No. God wants us to go there. And so, this world is not going to be forever, but the kingdom of God will be forever. Just like a changing one place to another. Philadelphia was the capital of USA. Now, the Washington is capital of USA. The city changed, but the kingdom didn't change. Same way, God rules in our heart. He will be ruling in the millennium, and the millennium finished, he will be ruling in heaven forever. And so the kingdom is not going to finish. So these people say, oh, kingdom is not going to finish. The kingdom has to be on earth. God is saying new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. And he says, all this world you see with your own eyes will be folded and vanish, and you will not see where this gone. And he says, I'm going to make a new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem, and the former things are gone. And he says, behold, I make all things new. Let's read verse 11.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Now here also he's saying, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who hath worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What does it mean? He said, this was the will of God, that we should be having inheritance in Christ. This was the will of God, that one day Jesus Christ comes here and takes us to heaven wherever he is. That is the plan of God. Jesus Christ didn't say, I came here to establish my kingdom on this earth forever. He said, I'm going to heaven, I'll prepare the place, I'll come back, and I'll take you with me wherever I am. Isn't it? It says in St. John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Please read.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
This is the plan. If Jesus plainly said, I'm going to go to my Father, then I'll come back, then I'll take you with me wherever I am. He didn't say, I'll come back and stay with you wherever you are.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
See? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, you want to go to Father? That's why I came here. And I am the way to go there. And I am the life to take you there. And I am the telling the truth that I came from the Father, and I will take you there. And that is the plan. And so he said, this is the will of God, that you should be having inheritance in Christ Jesus. And that is predestinate. God has already prepared everything for us according to his purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So this is the will of God. Nobody can change it. The prophecy teacher cannot change it. And the person who says, we are not going to go to heaven, heaven is coming on earth, we are going up. We are belong to heaven. And that's what the plan of God is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12.
That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
So what he's trying to say, we are the praise of his glory. That means God is well pleased what Jesus Christ has done. And we should be thankful to God what God has done in Christ Jesus. And so if you trusted in Jesus Christ and God trusted in Jesus, God says, I know my son will go. He says, my word will not come what? Void. And the word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the word of God. What the reason he sent to Jesus Christ? He finished the work. And what he said on the cross? It is finished. So he finished the job. This is praiseworthy Jesus Christ has done, and we should be thankful to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Now here also when the word of God is saying, I knew my son will go and do the plan of salvation, And when I sent him, you also trusted him. You heard the word. The word is Jesus Christ. You heard the truth. Truth is Jesus Christ. You heard my son. He told the truth. And he gave you the gospel, means the good news of salvation. And when you heard the good news of salvation, you believed it. And because you believed the salvation plan, and because you believed my son who shed his blood for you, and that's why God sent his Holy Spirit. And what was that Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise was not given to any mankind before Jesus Christ came into this world. And we learned that John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39, it says, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. So the promised Holy Spirit is given to the church. So he says, when the promised Holy Spirit is given, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now somebody says, when you are sealed, that means your salvation is secure for eternity. That is not the meaning coming here. We already learned, if you commit sin, your name will be blotted out. So the sealing of the Holy Spirit is different here. Now, for example, Jesus Christ said, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes for what? We learn the Holy Spirit comes to teach us more about Christ. And Holy Spirit makes us engage with Christ. St. Paul says, I have made you a chaste virgin and engage with Christ. So now we are already engaged, but the marriage is not come yet. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no engagement rings, because when the Holy Spirit came, he gave your 9 gifts. Just like Abraham sent his servant Eliezer. Eliezer called the Holy Spirit in the type of the Holy Spirit. Eleazar goes and prepares the bride for Isaac and gives the gifts and makes her ready and brings her for the wedding. And that's why Matthew chapter 25, parable given of the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were what? Wise. When you say foolish in the Bible, actually foolish means denies God. Or whoever says there is no God, they are fool. That's what he's saying. So they didn't have the oil. They had the lamb, no oil. But the wise one, they had the oil. So what he's saying, they were prepared to meet the bridegroom. So the oil represent what? The Holy Spirit. So he says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Means now the Holy Spirit is given just like a seal on your forehead. And when the bridegroom comes, you are ready to say, you have a seal? Yes, come on in. So that's what it is. But it's not like once you receive the Holy Spirit, you will never go to hell. That God has given us a free will. You can be backslidden anytime. You can deny Christ anytime. Even though you filled with the Holy Spirit or you didn't fill the Holy Spirit. So here he says, when God has given us the promised Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is preparing you for Christ to come. And the Holy Spirit, we learn in our Bible study, sanctifies you daily. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit daily. So if there is no Holy Spirit, you will be not preparing yourself for the soon coming of Christ. Promised Holy Spirit does. And that sealed means like a recognition. God is going to recognize you that you have the oil. You have the Holy Spirit. So the 5 were wise one had the oil. The door was open for them. Okay, let's go to the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
That means God has given this already to you. For what? To inherit all God's possession, all God's promises. Now, many people do not understand this. The salvation plan is perfect salvation once you are born again, you are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, then the plan of salvation is perfected. Otherwise, the person is born again and denies the baptism, denies the Holy Spirit, that person is not perfected in the plan of salvation. How it works? Go to the St. John chapter 3 and start reading from verse 3 to 7.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Did you see here? He said first, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now he said, you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you should be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. Then somebody says, if the person is not baptized and not filled with the Holy Spirit, is he lost? No. He is able to see the kingdom of God. That's why he said to that thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. The paradise is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in Jerusalem. Paradise, there is no thrones. You understand? In Jerusalem, there are thrones. And you will be sitting at his right hand. So the church is promised Jerusalem. Jerusalem is called the bride of Christ. So there we going. So the born again person, baptized person, and filled with the Holy Spirit person will be fulfilling the God's redemption plan. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14 again.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Okay, now he's saying, I knew that you understood the plan of God, and you have faith in Jesus Christ, and you are growing in spiritually. When I heard that, I start thanking God, praising God, and praying for you. Now, just think, the person is once saved and saved forever. Why we have to pray for that person anymore? He's already done. You have nothing to do again. But he says, I'm keeping you in my prayers, so you should not be moving away from Christ. Verse 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
That's what St. Paul is saying. I'm praying for you that you should have the revelation, knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and everything what we have in Jesus Christ, you should understand. And you should understand the why God has called you, the hope of his calling, and the riches of his glory, and the inheritance in the saints of God. So this is all for the believers, that we are going to go to heaven. Whatever God has prepared to us, he is going to give it to us. But we should know all of these things. If we do not know what is given for us, and if somebody says, well, if I'm born again, that's good enough for me. I don't need baptism. I don't need Holy Spirit. I don't have to live holy life. I don't have to do all the will of God. Just believe Jesus Christ and that's it. He says, no, that's not it. You have to have the spiritual understanding. Your mind should be enlightened, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, going to Bible study, preparing yourself every day. And then only you would know what is the will of God for me. Verse 19.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
See, he said, where is Jesus? He is sitting at the right hand of God. And there he wants to take the believers. And so that is the plan. In case you left behind, then what you do? And the people say, okay, let me read that and let me see the movie and then I plan to stay behind. Then I would know how to make it when I did not make it the first time. If you didn't make it the first time, I guarantee you, you will not make it in the second time. It will be difficult. Now it's easy. But in the tribulation time, only way you can make it, you have to give your life. You have to be martyrs. Otherwise, there is no way you can make it. Okay, verse 21.
Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Okay, now see, this is very important. God has given authority and power to Jesus Christ over all the principalities, powers, and all these demonic forces. Not a single devil has power over Jesus Christ. We know 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, little children, you don't have to be afraid of devil. If you have Jesus Christ in you, then whatever in the world you facing, one you have inside is greater than any enemy outside in the world. So he's saying Jesus Christ is greater. He has power over all the powers and principalities and all the dominion. Whatever the things you seeing in this world, he is greater. And then he's saying, the God had put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Christ's feet. Now God says, okay, you went to the world, you fought with the enemy, devil, you destroyed him, and now you are coming here victoriously. Your name is above all other names. All the powers is under your feet. And so everything is given to you. Then what the word of God is saying, everything is under his feet, where his feet landed. Let's read. Let's read the verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. Jesus Christ has everything under his feet, and now he became the head over the church. And when the Jesus Christ, the head of the church, then you are his body, right? If we are the body of Christ and he is the head of the church, then your feet is the feet of Christ, isn't it? If your feet is the feet of Christ, then under your feet is everything is. So where the devil should be? Under your feet. Devil has no power to mess up your head. You tell the devil, Jesus Christ is my head, I am his body, and the devil or all other enemies should be under my feet, which is the church. And verse 23.
Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Which is his body, fullness of him. What is it? What does it mean? We are the fullness of Christ. So when people see us, they see Christ. We supposed to glorify Christ. And everything what God has given to us through Jesus Christ, and what is his is ours. And so he says, the church is the main subject in heaven. People do not understand. Without church, Old Testament people cannot be perfected. Jesus is head and church is the body. So the church has given all authorities and power in heaven like Jesus Christ has it. And so when you go to heaven as a body of Christ, you are going to be what? Kings and priests of God. Not the Old Testament people. Aaron is not going to be priest. Moses is not going to be leader. Jesus Christ is the high priest. We will be the priest. Jesus Christ be the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will be the kings. So the church is the main subject in heaven. And that's why in heaven there are so many places. Jesus Christ said, it's already we read. He says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. But I'm not going to keep you one of that mansions. I am going to prepare a place for you. And then I'll come back. That's the plan of God. So church, we are not ordinary people. We are the body of Christ. And under our feet, all demonic forces should stay. You should not be afraid of problems, but we can face problem through Jesus Christ, because He is the Lord of everything. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us assurance that you have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us the salvation. You have given us the spiritual eyes to understand what we are going to get in heavenly places. We are belong to you. Devil has no power, no authority over us. You have given us power to destroy the works of the devil. You came here to destroy the works of the devil. And you said, whatever the works I have done, you will do also, and greater works than I. So Lord, you have given us much more power to destroy the works of the devil. Give us grace to keep our mind on Jesus Christ. Give us grace to surrender our body, soul, and spirit into your hands. We are in this world, but we are not belong to this world. We are belong to you, and you are coming for the church. We do not have time to waste. Give us grace to go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.